Our first lesson today comes from the prophet Isaiah. These are words for difficult times that call us to return, repent, and also to rejoice. Reading from chapter 55, beginning in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May God add blessing to the reading and the hearing of these words. If you will please stand for the gospel reading. Reading this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let God's people say amen. Amen. Jan Richardson says it this way: while it was still dark, while it was still night, while she could not see, while she thought death held sway, while she grieved, while she wept, while it was still dark, resurrection began. In John's gospel, it's not the group of women, it's just Mary Magdalene. She wakes up early in the morning of the first day of the week while it is still dark and decides to go to the tomb. John's gospel does not have her carrying any perfumes like myrrh that she might anoint the body. It just says that she goes to the tomb. It was risky business. In that day, as well as ours, for a woman to be anywhere alone at night, some things evidently don't change. But somehow the darkness and the risk did not stop her. Maybe we've experienced that as well. Sometimes when we have lost someone we love, our inner darkness is equal to the outer darkness. And we know that the worst thing that could happen has happened, so we're not afraid of anything anymore because we sort of just don't care. So she risks going as a woman alone in the dark to the tomb. And what does she expect to find there? What did you expect when you came to Easter this morning? It's better if I just tell the story, isn't it? Isn't it better if I just don't ask any questions? Isn't it better if I don't put you on the spot? I mean, maybe the pastor is weird enough, she'll just call on one of you. Oh, choir, don't you laugh. You're closer. I'll bet you didn't expect much different than Easter is every year. I bet you don't expect much to happen in the midst of everything that's going on. You know the music's going to be great. You hope the sermon's going to be short, and you know that there's going to be chocolate to eat afterwards. But be careful, because Mary didn't think anything was going to be different either than what she knew had happened on Friday. When we go to decorate gravestones on Memorial Day, we don't expect anything but the gravestone. When we perhaps go to the cemetery on other days of the year, perhaps a special anniversary or a birthday, we don't expect anything but to be able to kind of make concrete or solid for ourselves that this person that we love really is gone. I mean, what's going to be different when you come out of worship this morning, really, in the world? The war in Ukraine is still happening. There's, of course, another new variant of this weird pandemic stuff. And there was another shooting yesterday in a mall in South Carolina. 14 people injured, 2 critically. So far, no one has died. And so really, Do I have a right to ask you to expect anything different? Does God have a right to ask you to expect anything different after coming to Easter worship? Did Mary have any reason to expect anything different? But then she gets there and the stone has been rolled away. And immediately she knows it's the last insult. Jesus' enemies have taken his body away so that they can't even go there to grieve appropriately. So she runs back and perhaps wakes up the disciples. And John and Peter get up and they race to the tomb. And while John gets there first, Peter goes in and he sees the tomb is empty. But the grave clothes, because you see, bodies were wrapped in grave clothes because there was no embalming. The grave clothes were folded up in one place and the sedarion that covered his face was folded in another. And it says he comes out of the tomb and the disciple John goes in. And it says he saw and believed. And yet verse 10, right before the ones that Cheryl read this morning, verse 10 says, as yet they did not believe the scriptures that he had to rise from the dead. And they returned home. What would have happened if when you came in this morning, I asked you to stand for the first hymn and we hadn't sung Christ the Lord has risen today. Hallelujah. I mean, seriously, isn't there only one hymn to sing on Easter Sunday morning? And doesn't it have to be the first hymn? That's what we expect. It's the good news. We have to celebrate. But that's not what John and Peter do. It says they return to their homes. They return to their homes. They just return to their homes unchanged. But Mary remains. She remained at the foot of the cross as well. All the disciples but John were not there, justifiably afraid. She was there as he breathed his last. She was there as he cried out for the final time that he yielded his spirit to God. And still she remains. What happens sometimes if you remain? When was the last time you remained when you really shouldn't have? When the world said, it's time for you to go. When was it you stayed? When that friend said, I don't really need you to stay, I'm fine. When was it you stayed anyway? Because you knew without them saying that they needed you. When was it that you stayed? That you stayed with an organization, that you stayed with something that was doing good in the world, but no one was recognizing it, and it seemed to be kind of a defeating purpose. How is it you have stayed connected to an institutional church? You people are a little crazy. Do you know that? We're now over 50% of citizens of the United States that don't claim any church, community, or connection. Why have you stayed? What happens sometimes if you remain, even when the world says, you've got to be kidding me, you still think that's relevant? What happens when we remain? Mary remains and she's weeping. Maybe she's ugly crying. Some of you perhaps ugly cried a couple of Monday nights ago for a very different reason, but maybe you ugly cried. Because sometimes tears of joy and tears of sorrow are mixed together, but come from the same place. She bends down and she looks in the tomb and there are 2 angels there and she doesn't recognize that they're angels because why would she? I mean, angels are supposed to be floating around on clouds playing harps, aren't they? Except that one named Clarence who comes at Christmas every year to get his wings. I mean, that angel came. But most every other angel is supposed to stay where they're supposed to stay. They're supposed to stay in heaven and play their harps. So maybe it's no wonder she didn't recognize the angels that were among her. And they say, "Why are you weeping?" Well, I mean, not only are they angels, they're not very bright, really. Why is she weeping? She's at a tomb. She's come there because her friend has died only 3 days earlier. Why are you weeping? Are the angels really this slow? Or is there? Thank you. You're exactly right. See, the rest of you wanted to say that, but you didn't. Amen, hallelujah. No, they're not that slow. Then why do they ask the question? Sometimes the right question, asked at the right time, starts us on a different journey. One that we don't even know we need to be on. A journey that might change our perspective, that might expand our horizons. We don't even know until someone asks a question, and in the immediacy of the question, we don't even realize it then. But it rests with us. It begins to till the soil of perhaps something new that we need to see differently. And she turns away from them, and there's another figure there, and it's Jesus. And she doesn't recognize him either. And he says, "Again, woman, why are you weeping?" And then he asks another question, "For whom are you looking?" So friends, are you looking this morning at all? Are you looking with any expectation? Are you opening your eyes and your hearts with any possibility? Maybe it's time for us to be asked to look differently, to see with new eyes. She says, "Please, sir," thinking he was a gardener, "tell me where they've put the body of my Lord that I may go and get him." And Jesus says, "Mary." Be careful when people call your name. It may be a voice and a voice beyond the voice. She immediately turns and says, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Remember with me on Monday, Thursday, when Jesus establishes that new commandment that we should love one another as we have first been loved by God. He first washes their feet. Then he comes to the table and he says, "You call me Lord and teacher, and you're right because that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also should you wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you might do what I have done." Teacher, Mary says. Teacher of eternal things, teacher of earthly things, teacher of resurrection. Her eyes were opened. When was the last time you saw angels among you? When was the last time you saw Jesus? But they're supposed to stay in their appropriate places, aren't they? They're supposed to stay floating around somewhere on clouds playing harps, except for Clarence. And they're supposed to stay in the kingdom of heaven. But what if they don't? This week I was honored to do a service of death and resurrection for one of our longtime members, and her service was Tuesday and her graveside was Wednesday. And you need to know this about your pastor. I'm obsessive compulsive when it comes to being early, really early, for worship services of any kind, most especially funerals and gravesides. I've never been late. Be careful when you say that. So I went obsessively early to the graveside. I went to the cemetery I knew where she was going to be buried. And I was there so early, the tent was there, and it's not unusual that even the cemetery people aren't there yet. And so I was thinking about the graveside service. I was thinking perhaps about my sermon on Thursday night and my sermons for, you know, I was just thinking about sermons perhaps. And a Penwell Gable car pulled up, and I was relieved. I'm always relieved because, like, oh, okay, I am in the right place. And so the Penwell Gable guy gets out, and I've known him a long time, and I get out, and he says, "Well, Pastor Nanette, what are you doing here?" Here for the gravesite. I said, "Although I thought you all were doing cremation, and there's a casket in there." He goes, "Nanette, this isn't your body." I said, "Yes, it is." He goes, no, this is a Catholic cemetery. You're a Protestant female pastor. What? But I think I'm early. I still have time. I said, where am I supposed to be? He goes, I don't know. So I call Penwell Gable because they're the ones. And my wonderful friend Robin gets on the phone and she goes, oh, Nanette. And I knew that was not good. She goes, yeah, you're at 87th and the cemetery is at 89th on a different street than you are, but you should be able to be there in 5 minutes. Yes, I'll still be on time. Pulled out of the cemetery, and I turned south. The wrong way. The numbers were, I was at 89th, it was at 87th. I'm whipping down Quivira. The cemetery's on Flum. I'm whipping down Quivira to the south, and the numbers are getting bigger, and it doesn't occur to me that the numbers are getting bigger, and literally until I hit 115th Street. What? It suddenly occurs to me, Nanette, 115th is further from 87th than 89th. So I stop and I text the son and I say, I'm so sorry. I've gotten lost. I've only lived in Johnson County for 20 years. I've gotten lost. I've only done gravesides in every cemetery in the county. I've gotten lost, but I'll be there, but I'm going to be late. It starts snow pelleting. This family who's already grieving waits 15 minutes for their pastor. I come roaring up, if you can imagine, pull in the wrong entrance, saw the tent across the way and just decided to sprint the last 100 yards. I get there, I'm out of breath. Bill says, Nanette, slow down. We were just worried about you. There's grace for you too. No, there's not, Bill. I'm a pastor. I never late to gravesides. And he kind of smiled and said, until today? He says, we just think we're special. Don't be nice to your pastor when she wants to feel guilty. You need to heap burning coals on her head. We got through the graveside. I thought, oh, now I'm done. And then I remembered, I have confirmation Wednesday nights. 14-year-olds, 8th graders. A lot of them are boys. And I thought, how am I going to have enough energy for these kids? And I'm sitting by myself waiting for them to come, and they're late because Harriet has them in the kitchen with sugar cookies, icing them for themselves. Now understand, when you allow 8th graders to ice sugar cookies for themselves and don't limit them, there is going to be a young man who comes in with a bottom cookie, a top cookie, and about this much icing in between. Pastor Nanette, look what I made. Indeed. I'll be pulling you off the roof before... Oh, I love you so much. I just love you, kids. Love you, kids. You don't ever expect to see angels in your midst. I was laughing in spite of myself. And then this young man comes up, and he kind of looks sheepish, and he says, my mom told me to give you this. You moms do realize 8th grade boys do not like delivering things, don't you? And this is what he brought. Friends, if you can't see them, these are peeps. These are appropriately yellow peeps. Orange peeps at Halloween are not okay. Pumpkin spice peeps at Thanksgiving are wrong. Peeps that look like snowmen at Christmas are, they're just not right. Pastel colored peeps that are not yellow at Easter, I question. Purple ones may be okay, but friends, really, yellow ones. And I got teary. 8th grade boys don't like that much either. And then the whole class began to take a step back because your pastor went, score! I have some peeps, my first peeps of Easter. And they looked at me. And I said, quick, give me the definition of grace. And they said, because I make them say it every time, free gift. I said, you are Christ in my midst tonight. And they were like, oh, okay. They don't get it yet. They will. Do you? You see, that's Easter. When you least expect it, when it comes as a surprise, when you don't deserve it, in the midst of the darkness, there is the yellow light of a new day. Life in Christ. He is risen. Amen.